on with the hammer down. Can I get a good hearty amen? Yep. Lord, we shout and we carry on Saturday. Sunday rolls around,
right.
Resurrection Day. We ought to just clear us off the space and shout a while because He has overcome sin and the grave.
Yes.
Well, I invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's holy word.
Amen.
You can turn anywhere you want to. I'm going to begin reading in Genesis and I'm going to read through Revelation. Say amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I am grateful to stand in this pulpit in this great church. While you're turning, let me remind you something you already know. You're in a blessed church this morning. You've got a good preacher. You've got a good choir.
Yes.
You've got the Holy Ghost that's in this place, and you're in a special place this morning. In case you hadn't noticed it, we have settled in a field of grace.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord for it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son.
Yes.
What's those next two words, church?
Be
You're not
strong.
Helping me. What's the next two words?
Be strong.
This ain't the time to be weak. This ain't the time to be quitting. This
right.
ain't the time to be backing out. It's time to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a watcher, good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier, don't you?
Yep.
Verse number 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I just want to preach a while y'all shout a while on pleasing him. Can we pray? Our Father and our God, it is good to be here this morning. Thank you for this field of grace that you have set before us. Thank you for that table that is spread and splendo. I pray today, God, for your good hand to be upon us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that's already rode with us to church this morning and squeezed those tears of joy out of our eyes. How we need you right now, God. I pray, Father, knowing the arm of flesh shall fail us, so God, would you empty us of ourselves, cleanse us of our sins, and fill us with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. All right. Can you hear me? All right. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, I want to preach on pleasing Him on this holiday weekend. Amen. You understand God's always on the throne. Paul calls Timothy, church, a soldier of Jesus Christ. That word soldier means a warrior. It means an enlisted one. And Paul liked to use that word soldier to describe the child of God. And Paul knew something about being a soldier. Paul, he knew something about their authority and their ability and their armor. And Paul liked to use a lot of things to describe a child of God, but he chose to tell Timothy, you are a soldier. And when it comes to being a soldier, I thought about there are some things that stand out about a soldier. There's the discipline of a soldier in verse number 1. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, Timothy, if you're going to make it in this world, it's not going to be because of manpower or muscle power. It's going to be because of God power that'll see you through. It's not your physical strength. It is the spiritual strength that you need to make it on Sunday through the next Sunday. Paul talked about discipline of a soldier. In verse number 2, he talked about the dedication of a soldier. He said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. Paul was talking to Timothy about things that he had heard that Paul had taught and done. And he said things like, Timothy, about things I've taught about being faithful, being fiery, and being filled. I want you to teach those same things to other faithful men who can teach men as well. Can I just help to do a little preaching right here? We're living in a day and hour where there's not many, many faithful men that are standing on the battle lines in this generation. We need some faithful men who will take a stand and be a faithful a man and leave their houses and leave their homes and leave their children and leave their wives and leave their employers and leave their friends in this life. Paul talked about the discipline and the dedication of a soldier. But in verse number 3, he mentions the determination of a soldier. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Man, we're living in times of hardness right now. You don't believe it? Just go visit you a few little Baptist churches around town. And man, it's hard to sit there and watch that choir sing with the faintest smile on their face. It's hard to listen to preaching that's dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. But when you cruise into that place where God is at and the Holy Ghost is on the scene and that choir, they're lifting up holy hands and that preacher's up preaching. I'm telling you, Paul talked about the dedication of a soldier and the determination of a soldier. Look in verse 3. He said, "Endure hardness." You know about them soldiers, it's when that recruit arrives at boot camp, that's when that raw recruit is turned into a soldier. And it doesn't happen overnight. You say, "I'd like to be a soldier. Can I get a witness out there?" You've got a soldier of the cross sitting right down here as your man of God. But those soldiers, they're taught to endure hardness, and they go through countless hours of training and hours of drilling and hours of endless orders and hours of endless commands. And listen, you're not going to become a soldier just on Sunday morning only. I want you to hear me this morning. You're not going to be a soldier just by reading that Bible on Sunday morning when your preacher says, "Take your Bibles." Amen. It's going to take day after day, hour after hour, night after night, praying and reading that Bible. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I get tired and thirsty in this sin-filled world, and I need something more than Powerade and Gatorade. I like to pull up the heavens, Buckies in the sky, open up that King James Bible. I'm telling you, let the Word of God fill me and thrill me. It takes hours. I want you to know God is not in the business of recruiting soldiers with brochures about heaven and heaven's wonderful retirement program. God is enlisting men to fight the good fight of faith and to suffer hardness and engage in a battle that will not end until death or the coming of the Lord. But in verse number 4, I saw the devotion of a soldier. You know, a good soldier is not to get himself entangled with the affairs of this life. I'm in a new chapter right now. I don't know hardly how to act. I told him in prayer room, I'm used to gathering together in the morning time and praying and calling on God, asking Him to save souls. I'm not used to gathering with men and talking about cars. Amen. I like cars. Man, I could tell you some stories in the 4 weeks I have been in the car world. But I want you to know, I'm telling you, we're not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. I want you to think about it. That means that soldier has surrendered his rights. He has surrendered his affairs. He is no longer a free citizen. He belongs in the army now. He is a soldier, and his only agenda is being a good soldier and pleasing Him who's chosen him to be a Christian. I'm telling you, you see what Paul sees when he sees a soldier. He said, "You're a soldier now, Timothy." Do you see what Paul sees? Paul doesn't see somebody that's sitting in a rocking chair and they're getting nowhere. And that's not what Paul sees. Paul sees a soldier when he looks at a man, a woman that's been a child of God, and he sees them standing at attention with his sword girt about his side. He sees a soldier that is looking towards the general and awaiting his marching orders. Well, I want to preach for just a few minutes on pleasing Him who has chosen you to be a soldier. I like to read about those old-time heroes. I read about General William Booth. You know that man that had a burden for the down and out, for the out and outers? And I'll just be honest with you, that little place of business I work at, you know that thing of judge not, and we're not to be respecter of persons. Well, listen, some of them dudes, they look for them rich cats like some of you come rolling in, and they're like, "Boy, they got money." And not me, Jack. I just take anybody that rolls in. And old William Booth, they said of William Booth that he was such a motivator and inspirer. William Booth, every year at the Great Salvation Army Convention, he always delivered a powerful spiritual speech to rally the troops. He was sick and dying, and they said, "William Booth, we need you to come and rally the troops." I want to rally y'all this morning. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all need to smile. Lift up your head because your redemption is drawing nigh. And William Booth said, I'm too sick to make it. They said, would you just write down anything you want to say? Here's what General William Booth on his deathbed wrote. Dear delegates of the Salvation Army of the Lord. And then he wrote one word, others. And that crowd stood and shouted. It's all about others this morning. It's all about others. I want to show you a couple of things. If you're going to please Him who has chosen you to be a soldier, number one, you need to remember that there is someone that has gone before us. I want to say this morning, church, there are soldiers that have fought on the battlefield long before you and I ever got here. There are soldiers that have fought and they've shed blood, sweat, and tears long before you and I ever staggered onto the battlefield. I thought about the captain of our salvation. Why, in the Gospel of John, John described him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Over in the book of Revelation, he's described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Listen, when God sent a Redeemer down into this world, He didn't send a commander. He didn't send an army general. He didn't send a cage fighter or a mixed martial artist. He didn't send nobody like that, but He sent a gentle lamb. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus came down from heaven. He wasn't armed with a machine gun. He wasn't clothed in camouflage. But when the sinless Lamb of God came down from heaven, He was robed in righteousness. He was covered in mercy. He was loaded down with love. And I'm telling you, the Son of God stepped on the battlefield as that meek and lowly Lamb of God. He came to take away our sins. And He didn't just take them to the hill of Calvary. Why, He just carried our sins to the hill of Calvary, and they would still be there. But John declared, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He didn't just take them to the cross of Calvary and leave them there because they'd still be there. He didn't just take our sins under that little tomb, that borrowed tomb. Why, they'd still be there. But I'm here today to tell you, He didn't carry them as far as the east is from the west. If you could go as far as the east is from the west, why, our sins, our dirty, rotten, stinking sins would still be there. But I'll tell you what He did with them. He took them away. And that means they are gone, they are gone, and they are gone. Some of you this morning ought to just get a divorce from public opinion. Stop worrying about your past if it's under the blood and shout it out because your sins are gone. I thought of the captain of our salvation, the comrades of the Scriptures. I love to read about Joshua. Man, Joshua was mighty in battle. Joshua didn't just fight the battle of Jericho, but Joshua went into that promised land and he fought and he battled and he motivated those family members and that nation of Israel. I thought about David, that mighty man of God who led the nation against their greatest enemy, Goliath, and the Philistines. I thought about those disciples who armed themselves with the gospel and desired to get the gospel out so that you and I could hear the gospel. I thought about the comrades of the saints, those men like J. Harold Smith and Mays Jackson and those men like J. Vernon McGee and your man of God like Ken Bowman, men that have hazarded their life. You know what they did, those comrades of the Scripture? They gave their lives so the gospel could travel from the cross of Calvary, from the empty tomb, so it could travel from that little church meeting on the day of Pentecost, and that gospel's been traveling. Amen. I'm telling you, the God of glory has been walking through creation, and that gospel that started there at that risen empty tomb, it ain't to stop with you, it's to go on to somebody else. Man, I'm telling you, I love to read about war movies. I love watching war movies. Listen, I read about a Roman emperor. His name was Trajan, and you talk about bad to the bone. I mean, throw down and take care of business. His name was Trajan, and he lived as a Roman emperor around A.D. 98. He was not only an emperor, but he was a bad soldier. I mean, he would lead his soldiers into battle and fight with them. And they said about Trajan, when a soldier would be wounded, Brother Ken, that man, that soldier, that leader, he would rend his own clothes and bind up those soldiers' wounds. He was the captain and the general of the army. But when one of them comrades would be falling, he'd get down off of his horse. He'd strip some of his own clothing, some that labeled him as the general, and he'd bind up their wounds. And those men loved him because he didn't just preach from the ivory palace, but he fought with them in battle. Why, I thought about our Lord and Savior, who didn't just let them rend his clothes on the hill of Calvary, but they rended his body. And I'm telling you, they stripped his raiment and they beat his back. When's the last time you took a trip to bloody Calvary, turned your eyes upon that lovely Lamb of God, who in him was no sin found, and seen his back that was ribboned as they ripped his back? I'm telling you, he didn't just let him rend his clothes, but he rended his body. And I'm telling you, he likes to come close, and with his stripes let us be healed. And with that blood, I'm telling you, that blood, we are sealed. I'm telling you, that great shepherd of the sheep, he didn't just preach from the ivory palaces of heaven, but he came down as that meek and lowly lamb. Amen. I believe he walked with some pizzazz all the way up the hill of Calvary. Amen. Carried that cross. That cross that should have been yours, and it should have been mine. I'm telling you, he was the lamb. He came down as the lamb that took away our sins. But he's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to pounce on this generation real soon right here. Well, we need to remember those that have gone before. You know, I'm telling you, I read about a man by the name of John Brown, the Priest Hill. He was known as a preacher of the gospel when the state church over in Scotland was persecuting the church. It was during a time when you could not worship together in open places. You see, there was a time when the church had to meet together in the woods and in barns and in places of hiding. And John Brown was a fearless man of God. He was a soldier of the cross. And John Brown would be gone for months. He would carry the gospel to this little town. He would carry the gospel to this little village. Is it so hard for us to carry the gospel to the gas station, to Chick-fil-A, and to Jack's? Is it so hard for us to carry the gospel and leave it on that table and tell that waitress who's fighting hell by the acre? I'm telling you, John Brown would be gone for months at a time. Well, old John Brown, he slipped up and came back home. He got to missing that wife, Molly, and them kids. And somebody told on John Brown that he's at home. And the authorities came. And I read where they arrested him. They surrounded that house. And they led John Brown, his wife, Molly, and his children outside. They led John Brown outside that little shack. And they said, "John Brown, you preached the gospel for the last time." And that sergeant who hated God, that sergeant who hated the gospel, he said, "John Brown, I order you by the state for your execution." And he said, "Get down on your knees." And he ordered them soldiers to raise their muskets. And he said, "When I give the charge, shoot, fire, kill this man." John Brown got down on his knees. I just feel like preaching right here. Listen, some of you get a little upset. Things don't go your way. And man, you didn't get to sing that special this morning. And the preacher didn't call on you to pray. And nobody recognized you that you was in the church house this morning. And nobody saw your pretty new dress or your pretty new flip-flops or that tie that you got on. John Brown got down on his knees. He began to pray. And he began to say, "Oh God, if we ever needed you, we need you now. And oh God, we need revival in this nation. God, these men are going to die and go to hell." He began to pray a red-hot prayer, asking God to forgive them and have mercy on their souls. And those soldiers that was gathered around John Brown began to shake with conviction. And the sergeant gave them the order to fire. And those men were frozen dead in their tracks. I'm going to tell you, when Almighty God comes walking into your little life, I'll tell you, He'll humble you. He'll settle you down. And those men quaked in their boots as John prayed. The holiness of God would send fear into their souls, and that sergeant couldn't stand it any longer. He pulled out his pistol and he shot John Brown right through the head. He looked at Molly. He looked at John Brown's wife, said, "What do you think of old John Brown now?" She said, I think more of him now than I ever have. They cut his head off, paraded it through the streets, and said, the gospel will stop right here and right now. But I got news for you. You can't stop the gospel. You can't stop nothing that you ain't started. I'm telling you, the God that came walking before eternity passed is still walking in this generation. And He's not sick and tired of sitting on His throne. He's not worried about Biden or Harris or Trump. I'm telling you, God is still seeking and saving those who will be saved. And that which is lost, we need to remember those that have gone on before us, but we need to recognize there's some beside us. Hebrews 10, it's already been quoted, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I understand it's a holiday weekend, but I'm going to tell you, you need this. We need one another. When's the last time you pulled up to somebody during handshaking time and said, I'm going to tell you, brother, God said you're going to make it. I'm going to tell you, I'm proud of that young couple that sang this morning. You know what they've done? They didn't just come to bless you with singing, but they heard the cry. Those two little boys who were orphans, and God said they need a mom and they need a daddy. And here's a family that's trucking on in the fast lane of life. But God said, I need a Christian mom and a Christian daddy, and I'm going to assign you to little Christian and Elijah. They need a mama that loves God, and they need a mama that'll read that Bible and pray over them. And they need a daddy that'll put them in that little car, take them to that little house of God on Sunday morning. Listen, hang a bunch of baseball and fishing and hunting. Don't tell me that you need the freezer full of meat when you weigh 400 pounds. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't have any time to go hunting. I listen, come on now. You better get into that church house because that devil is coming hunting you. And you better be ready to take a junkyard dog stand because he's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And you need a good dose of what's going on in here this morning. Recognize there are those that are coming beside us. There's the comrades beside us. Just look around, church. Your brothers and your sisters, they need you. You've got a preacher. You've got a church beside you. But then there's the comforter that's inside of us. My soul, in the morning I got out of bed. I couldn't wait to go to church. I gather with them fellas on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the way to Saturday, but they can have it on Sunday. Amen. This is my crowd. I got in that little GMC and we turned on the Powell singing, I Can Go In. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got in that car. I'm talking about the God that came walking in the midnight hour. And I'm telling you, coming down that little bypass heading to Bowden, Georgia, listen, God's interested in the small things in this generation. And there's a God in heaven that sees you. He has heard your cry. Mama, there's a God in heaven that's heard your cry. He's seen your tears. There's a God in heaven, sir, that has heard the burden and the brokenness of your heart. Young person, there is a God who's heard you whisper. Is there really a God out there? I tell you, He stands at the door and knocks. That Holy Ghost lives inside of us. I read about two buddies that they were friends. I mean friends to the end. They grew up together. They went to school together. They graduated together. They enlisted together, and they were deployed in World War II together. They got to fight side by side in the trenches. And I read, it's in Gary Ingrid's book there, in his book of Judges. And he told about these two boys that had grew up together and studied and schooled, and now they're fighting together. And they told about being in the trenches when that German war was going on. And them Germans had that new machine gun that was rattling off in shots and mowing them down. And their sergeant, while they were in the trench, gave the order to charge. And not a soldier moved. They were afraid of that machine gun. That sergeant said, I'm going to say it one last time. Charge. Every one of those men, including those two best friends, got out of that trench. They began advancing forward. That machine gun, I'm telling you, Satan has a machine gun and he likes to mow you down. He likes to get you twisted on them Facebook and Instagram and his gram and her gram. And man, it was mowing them down, and he gave the signal for retreat. Everybody made it back in the trench, but a few. One friend made it back. The other friend was mortally wounded. He was crying out, help me, somebody help me. He wasn't far out of the trench. And that other friend looked at the sergeant. He said, don't move. You'll be killed if you get out of that trench. Help! He heard the cry. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are cries all around us. There are cries right down the road at the Southern Lady. There are cries down the road at the gas station. There are cries for help next door. And our children are crying for help. That little best friend couldn't take it anymore. Brother Ken, he shot out of that ditch. That machine gun began to rally. He made it to that wounded friend of his. Picked him up, threw him over his shoulder. I tell you, we need somebody to pick up those that are fallen. We need somebody to come to where we're at. Some of you know there's somebody that's laying out of church because they got their feelings hurt. Some of you know there's some that's broken up because they've been divorced and they've had to have bad things happen to them. They're crying out for help. Dear God in heaven, somebody come help me. And that friend made it back and he got shot as well. When he made it to the trench, he slumped over and his friend was already dead. And that sergeant yelled at him. He said, I told you, you disobeyed my orders. I told you, if you got out of that trench, he's already dead and you're dying. He said, was it worth it, buddy? He said, yes, sir. He said, the last words he said, sir, was, I knew you'd come. Somebody needs you to get out of the four walls of this church. There's some mama that's brokenhearted. She says if they're really who they say they are at Liberty Baptist Church, I wish they'd make a beeline to my house, tell me how good God is, and remind me that there is a fountain filled with blood where I can have my sins forgiven. I'm telling you, people are drowning in sin and they're going to hell and they need a soldier to come to where they're at. Well, let me give you the last one and I'm done. I want to be a good soldier and I want to please Him because someone has gone before us. And because there are someone that are beside us. But number three, there are some that are coming behind us. Look around, church. You see all them little fellas and those little girls carrying their offerings. Man, I wish some of y'all do that. When it's offering time, I mean just skipping and getting happy, carrying their offering. My soul, in the morning, I ain't never made anything in the ministry. Just a little bit. They believe in you, keep them poor. We'll keep you poor and God will keep you humble. Hogwash on that. Some of you so fat. Some of you drive the fattest car in town. Some of you just so blessed. Can I say it like, some of you so fat with blessings. Lessons. Can I behave? Amen. I'm overweight myself. But you're loaded down with blessings. And hey, take care of that man of God. Lord God in heaven. Look around at them kids. Man, they were coming bringing their offerings. What were they doing? They're bringing them to the Lord. I witnessed it, Brother Ken, on the mission field. We passed the offering. Everybody's just like here. Here, I watched them on the mission field. They make maybe $1 or $1.25 a week down there in Nicaragua. And man, when it come offering time, those two deacons, man, those two assistants stand down front and they got a pole with a bag on it, man. Then people would come with their heads bowed, tears dripping out of their eyes. And they needed that money, but they put it down in that bag. Listen, I'm telling you, little is much when God is in it. I was standing over there at the dealership. I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to learn how to do this? Lord, I could sell dirt to a farmer, but I got to figure out the paperwork and all the ins and outs. And the last thing I want to do is become a greasy car salesman. Amen. I'm a man of God, and it don't matter to me if they stay or go. I know God's going to take care of me. There was an evangelist came to see you one morning just a week ago, and you told him about me. He rode in that Escalade by. He turned around because the Holy Ghost said, I want you to go talk to Brother Brian. He shook my hand, put some greenbacks in it. I said, wait a minute, you're the evangelist. He said, no waiting about it. God, the Holy Ghost said, you carry him a love offering. I'm telling you, I can't go nowhere without God keeping His eye on me. It was this time, 3 years ago, Brother Ken, I preached the gospel in South Carolina, in Pickens, South Carolina. I preached about pleasing Him, and that is the only way to please Him is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to trust in the finished work and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That morning, conviction fell like it did in the prayer room. God come walking in that little country church at Blue Ridge View Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina. God got in a saving mood. All of a sudden, a woman started crying. It was a mother. She had been a member of that church for 30 years. She walked the aisle, and she began to cry, and she got saved. Another daddy who had been a member of that church for over 20 years, he couldn't help it. And I give the invitation, and we give the invitation. And at the end of the service, he walked the aisle and said, "Preacher, I'm lost. I'm a member of the church, but I've never been saved." I said, "Let me get my Bible." And I began to lead him in the Scriptures and led him to Jesus. Another man, grew up a Methodist. He had been dunked. He had been sprinkled. He had been juiced and goosed. He went down the driveway of Blue Ridge View Baptist Church, and God got in that car and said, "You're going to die and you're going to go to hell." And that big boy, red-headed, had a big old beard. He turned that thing around in the front yard, come driving back up to the front door of that Blue Ridge View Baptist Church. He come in saying, "Where's the preacher? I'm leading this brother to the Lord." Our youth pastor said, "What do you need?" He said, "I need to get saved. I'm lost. I'm going to hell." During that time, he got saved. But there was one man. His name was William. William raised his hand that he was lost. He'd only been to church twice in that year that I was there. William raised his hand. He was lost. His whole body turned red with conviction. His knuckles turned white. And I witnessed it. He sat right over here with his new bride. He would not come. He would not look up. He would not do anything but walk out the back door of the church. That was Sunday. He would never return to a church. On Monday, he got sick with COVID. This was 2020. This was the fall of 2020. Sunday, he walked out on God. Monday, he got COVID. Tuesday, he was admitted to the hospital there in Easley, South Carolina. Wednesday, they're saying, "You're getting worse." Thursday, the doctors are saying, "We need to put you, William McCullough, on the ventilator. It's your only hope." He got his daddy to find the preacher's phone number, and me and my son, let me paint the picture for you. We're rednecks, amen. We're in the backyard, and we've been gathering. I only lived there a year, and you couldn't burn but so long of the year, and we had the biggest brush pile you've ever seen. I mean, Channel 5, wish they could have been there when we lift that match. I mean, it was a good one. We stand there, and that fire's a-burning, and my cell phone started ringing, and I pulled it out, and I heard a voice. "Brother Brian, it's William McCullough. I walked out on God," and his voice began to shake. "Is it too late?" I said, "William, as long as there's breath in your lungs, there's still hope." "Can I be saved?" I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have my New Testament. I didn't have my Bible in my hand, but I had it in my heart. I said, "William, let me carry you down Grace Boulevard." I led him up to the gates of the holy, glorious city. Led him down the Romans Road, and we stood at the gate. I said, "William, I cannot save you, but I'm going to tell you there is one who can save you. He's the one that walked into your life Sunday morning. He's the one who upset your world, and he's the one that can save you. You've got to call on him. You got to repent and receive him as your Savior right now." And he began to pray. Oh, God. And it broke. He cried. I was thinking, yes. Got him on the hook. He cried. And all of a sudden, he tried to laugh with joy. He said, "Preacher, he saved me." Amen. Thursday night, they put him on the ventilator. Friday, he died. Skip the holiday. Tuesday, we have graveside service in Pickens, South Carolina. Closed casket. I'm standing there, and cars start pulling up. He's just an average, ordinary fella. Cars start pulling up. They heard what happened. He was a good guy in the community, but he's lost. Cars kept coming. The funeral director said, "I don't know what we're going to do with all this social distances." I said, "I'll take care of it." There's social distance, and I felt a Billy Graham streak come over me. And I lifted up that voice and said, "I need you to come a little closer. We're out here on God's territory, and it's okay to get a little socially close this afternoon. I'm going to tell you about the wonderful grace of God. I'm telling you, God is in the business of saving souls." And man, they were standing in this direction, standing over here, standing over there. And I began to deliver unto them how that God, who is rich in mercy, came down at the 12th hour and saved a wretch like William McCullough. And I said, you're the one that God came to. And you're the one God is dealing with. And God wants to save your soul. We're dealing with a death virus. Do you want to be saved? And I had them bow their heads. And I said, if you really want to be saved this afternoon, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you as a man of God. Hands going up everywhere. I felt like Billy Graham. Man, I'm telling you, hands are going up. People fell into conviction. Wow, I shared the gospel. I preached the gospel with them. And all of a sudden, I said, now, if you really want to be saved, keep your hand up. And man, they stood there trembling. I said, I don't have time to ask you to come and to gather around me and let me pull out my New Testament. But I'm going to come to where you're at. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to open your heart. And I'm going to ask you to confess your sins. And I'm going to ask you to believe that on the third day He got up from the grave alive forevermore. And I'm going to ask you by faith to call on Him and save you. And I led them in a simple prayer. And I said, now if God saved you, and you're not ashamed to admit it, would you raise your hand? I'm telling you, look like there's at the Braves game, giving it this. I want to be a good soldier. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? There is someone that's gone before you and he's already died for your sins. There's some comrades around you that you ought to hug their necks. Sunday school teachers, deacons, preachers, friends, choir leaders, song directors. There are some that are around us, our brothers and sisters. And there's some little ones that are coming behind us. We better stand some ground. We better fight some battles. We better pray down some glory. We better pray down some Holy Ghost in these last days. We better pray and ask God to send revival in these last days, because I want to please Him, don't you, church? I want to please Him who's chosen us to be a soldier. I'm going to ask you, church, to lead the way in just a moment in the invitation. God has chosen you to be a soldier. This is not time to get mad. This is not time to get hard. This is not time to pout. This is not time to blow a gasket. This is not time to decide if I'm in or out. This is the last of the last days. We're in the last hour. We're in the last few minutes. The last few seconds are about to tick off the clock. And times and the seasons should not catch us unaware. So I'm going to ask you daddies to lead the way. I'm going to ask you daddies, don't wait for me to go ahead and tell you to come. You daddies ought to get out of your seat right now and say, God, forgive me for failing to do what You called me to do. To be a soldier in the army of God. To be a soldier and a general in my house. To be a soldier and a general with my wife and my children. To be a soldier with my grandchildren. Make sure that they're heaven bound with the hammer down. And you little sweet wives, bless your heart. You ought to come and invade this altar and pray down the old time, all time power of God. And I'm telling you, young generation of young people, there is no greater hero than Jesus Christ. There's no greater than the greatest. His name is the great I Am. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the soon coming deliverer. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one that's come with healing in His wings. And young people, you ought to dedicate your life right here and right now that I'm going to live for Him and I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. And if you're here this morning and you have never been saved and your heart is about to beat out of your chest because you know you're guilty of sin, and you're going to split hell wide open, I want to close by praying for you. Can I pray for you this morning if you've never been saved? Would you slip your hand up? I'm going to pray for you. Would you slip it up real quick? When I see it, you put it down. Slip that hand up. I'm looking over here. I'm looking over here. Anybody? Pray for me, preacher. I've never been saved. I see one hand. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Pray for me, preacher. I have never been born again. Anybody else? Eternity's too long to be in hell. When you can come today and be forgiven by simply believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Young man, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to come and bow in an altar and just give your heart to Jesus. Young man, I'm going to ask you in just a minute, just simple faith. Would you get out of your seat and come and bow and just ask Jesus to forgive you and ask God to save you? Heavenly Father, you see this young, tender little heart. He's been so open and honest. God, I pray for his soul. He's sitting with his mom and daddy. May they be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I pray he'd come to Jesus this morning. Young man, in just a minute, your preacher's going to be standing right down here. If you want to be saved, young man, look this way, young man. If you want to be saved, your preacher's going to stand right here. You come and take him by the hand and ask him to help you, okay? Father, bless the invitation. How we want to please you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're standing all over the house. We're standing all over the house. I want to please him, don't you?